didn't know that. I didn't know this was coming. Hello, everybody. We're taking a break from Osama bin Laden. Because while we do want him to die, and he did, we don't want you to die. Ergo, a couple of times a year, we have a physician that I have tremendous confidence in. So much confidence, I put my own health to a large extent in his hands. Dr. Michael Richman, and he has had a tremendous success with many of you, both through the radio and some of you who've gotten to see him personally. He's a thoracic surgeon in practice in Los Angeles, founder of the Center for Cholesterol Management, and is a very serious physician. It's the highest accolade I give anybody about anything that they do, serious. Not everybody is serious about their work. There are so many reports in the news on health. I am telling you, Dr. Richman, I am convinced that for every study, I can get another report in the New York Times or Washington Post that says the absolute opposite. What is a layperson supposed to do?
It is absolutely troubling. My life has become ruined because I signed up for this site called MD Links, where I get all the papers on certain topics every morning. And I wake up and there's 30 papers at least in cardiology and high blood pressure and thoracic surgery and endocrinology, and half of them are conflicting.
I am expecting, I'm telling him, I'm half expecting the following. New report, celery kills, donuts enhance life. I mean, it's almost like that.
Absolutely. Because the problem is then you can't read all the studies, and then they pick the most, quote, interesting one for the television news.
Is that how you think they choose it?
Oh, absolutely. The one that's going to, I mean, I'll give you an example. I wanted to write a book about everything I do. And a big literary agent from ICM said to me, if you can write a book on how to lower your cholesterol in 6 weeks having sex, we can get it done. Other than that, nobody's interested. And I said, wow, I wish it was that easy.
They really did say that to you?
I said, I wish it was that easy. And that's what people, that's what people want to hear. They don't want to hear the facts. They don't even want to know if studies are real. You know, the nutraceutical industry, you know, which are vitamins and supplements and everything, most of those journals, 99% of them, are paid journals. They're not peer-reviewed journals reviewed by other physicians. And they pay.
But even beyond that, as you pointed out to me, even if it's just physicians, there's stuff that, for example, you were very angry about the reports against cholesterol-lowering drugs.
Right. Remember last time I was here, it was in reference to that letter that I wrote to the LA Times regarding their article that stated low-risk patients don't benefit statins from statin use. Remember
right.
that?
Right.
And my argument was, well, hey, that study will never be done. It'll never be done because there's not enough people who are low risk on medicine or off medicine having cardiovascular events. So the only way to ever really show that hard data saying, are you saving lives, you'd have to follow 1 million people out for 20 years, okay, and then have a good statistician play around with all the variables. Because it's just not enough people. So what we have to do then is look at soft endpoints. In other words, the thickness of the arteries. Was the thickness of the arteries less by using medicine? But that's not good enough for people. Okay, so then these, quote, experts come back and say, hey, these medicines are killers. You don't want to take it. Well, guess what? As you know, and there's no science behind it, I take cholesterol medicine just because, even though I don't need it, I'm not going to die from something that I treat. Because there's so many other benefits to medicines.
That is fascinating. I had forgotten that. You don't have high cholesterol and still take it.
That's correct. And I take it for so-called pleiotropic effects, which means not necessarily the cholesterol lowering, but the stabilization of plaques. Heart attacks occur from plaques rupturing. And on the front page now of my website, I have this beautiful minute and 30-second video that shows how the particles, which we'll talk about
that
get into the wall,
yeah,
and they cause a plaque and the plaque ruptures. And as soon as I show that to my patients, I mean, it's an amazing video. All of a sudden, it gets, they're like, wow.
Let me reintroduce. Dr. Michael Richman is the physician, so to speak, the unofficial physician of the Dennis Prager Show, the official physician of Dennis Prager's life, that I will say. And I have great respect for his intellectual honesty and his commitment to his profession. You opened my eyes and I guess billions of people through my show to the truly, I guess one would say incomplete, I'm being gentle, way of measuring cholesterol. And your analogy, even for my non-science mind, was so excellent. And let me say it in my words so that I know I have it. I always do this with guests when there's something technical. Folks, when your cholesterol is measured, they measure, they measure passengers. And I want you to think of what causes traffic jams on freeways or highways. It's not passengers, it's cars. If you have six cars with one passenger, you have a block. If you have one car with six passengers, you have a completely free highway. You are being measured for passengers when you should in fact be measured for cars. And this was revelatory to the point where we started seeing you after, what is that famous NBC?
Tim Russert.
Yeah, Tim Russert died, and it was a tragedy, and you felt, I mean, obviously you don't know for a fact, he wasn't your patient, but you felt that Tim Russert was an example of the type of person who shouldn't have died.
Well, people who had inside knowledge, I mean, that's how I got it. I saw what his numbers were. He had what also we'll talk about, metabolic syndrome, abdominal obesity, pre-diabetes, he had that. There were some things in his regular lipid panel that were missed, that were absolutely missed, that did not give them a clue to say, oh, God, this guy has too many cars. And the analogy, once again, is just to explain it, is cholesterol's oil, blood's water, and oil and vinegar salad dressing don't mix, right?
Right.
So in order to get the oil through the vinegar, if you will, or the cholesterol through the blood, we have to package it in something and shield it. So we put the cholesterol, which the analogy is people, in these particles, which are cars, and they're called LDL particles. So the bad cholesterol is LDL cholesterol. The bad cars are LDL particles. And the cars drive the cholesterol into the wall of the artery. If you don't have a lot of cars, you're not going to get atherosclerosis. I don't care how many people you have, and you just said it. And this, in 1967, Dr. Friedrichsen, head of the NIH, and I have the paper, wrote that this is a lipoprotein disorder. In other words, this is a car disorder. This isn't a lipid disorder.
So the fancy name or the scientific name for what we're calling cars is lipoprotein.
Right. And
that's not measured when people's cholesterol is measured.
No, absolutely not. But it's funny, in Canada, it's part of the Canadian guidelines. Now, they don't do it, but at least the Canadian Cardiovascular Society says this is guidelines, people should have it done.
Well, I'm in a very pro-Canada mood since Harper won this week. So anything positive you say about Canada, we'll start singing O Canada on this show. But no, that's extremely significant and very disturbing. Without, I'm not asking you to attack your profession because it's the last thing I care about. Having such an attack. But I do want to know, why is something, if you're right, and I believe you're right, if you're right, why is something so elementary missed when the average American goes to his cardiologist?
Well, I mean, first thing I want to say is, you know, I got invited, as I told you, last February. I spoke at Georgetown University, where I went to medical school, and gave grand rounds, which is usually reserved for big academicians, to the entire Department of Medicine, which is cardiology, everything that falls under medicine, on advanced lipoprotein testing. In other words, are what we traditionally doing now, is it falling short? Are we missing people? And I was told by the dean when I got back, it was the best grand rounds they've had in 3 years. And it was very simple. And the reason why we don't do it, and we'll go through it again, is the first and main reason is you don't learn it in medical school. The second reason is if it was so, everybody, why isn't your neighbor doing it? You know, that's what every doctor says. How come the guy next to me is not doing it?
Okay, we'll continue. We're going to investigate some of the latest items in news. And what about the notion if you have a bigger than 40-inch waist, you'll die early? Back with Dr. Michael Richman. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to the Dennis Prager Show. And while we do wish, at least those of us who have moral clarity, do wish that Osama bin Laden die, and he did, we don't wish that you die. And periodically, I have Dr. Michael Richman on the latest health news and his very, very keen insights. He is a thoracic surgeon in practice in Los Angeles, and he's also founder of the Center for Cholesterol Management, and he has this very, very important insight. He's not the only one, but he's probably the best known right now for publicizing it, in part, obviously, because we've done so with the vehicle of this show, and that is what you really should be measuring when you measure your cholesterol. And by the way, just one more question on that, on the car's passengers issue. The lipoprotein, which is the cars, which is what we should be measuring, is it catching on? I mean, has this publicity spurred more doctors to give this test?
I think a little bit. I mean, as we've spoken before, in 2008, the American Diabetic Association and American College of Cardiology did write a consensus paper that this is the standard in everybody who has risk, so moderate risk, moderately high, high, or very high risk. So the document's there, and then the American College of Clinical Chemists came out with the same thing. There's a few more doctors who are doing it. There's a heck of a lot of guys in academic medicine, but there's still this fallacy that it's expensive. Now, I fortunately use this amazing lab. I mean, they are the premier cardiovascular lab in the world, HDL Labs in Richmond, Virginia, and they take all insurances, all my patients, Medicare, and the patients don't get balanced bills. So you're getting what they charge at the Mayo Clinic, $3,000 for, and the patients are not getting a bill. And they're having the most comprehensive testing you can, particles, looking at the inflammation in the walls that paints a picture of really what's going on inside of your arteries. And guess what? There's no radiation. Everybody else around here is getting radiating and getting calcium scoring and CT angiograms. And there's a cancer risk. And most people from that are benefiting making money.
What's the biggest killer right now in America?
Cardiovascular disease. It will not change. Every other tombstone, you know, I've said that before. You drive by a cemetery, just when I was driving here, drove by Forest Lawn. What came into my mind was every other grave is a cardiovascular death. Stroke, heart attack, what have you. And despite doing over 125 million regular cholesterol tests a year, the prevalence, in other words, the number of new cases, is going up and is going to double in the next century. So what does that tell you? Tells me we are doing it wrong. But yet you still have these dinosaurs who don't want to change. So if the prevalence is going up, obviously we're doing it wrong. So I feel my responsibility is, hey, you, Dennis Prager, you don't want treatment? Fine, that's your choice. But I have an obligation to at least show you the whole picture of what's going on, what your real risk is, really that maybe you do have high cholesterol, even though we know that, quote, 50% of the population, when they come into the emergency room with heart attacks, and this is from the Center for Disease Control, has, quote, normal cholesterol. They do not. By regular testing, they do. But in reality, they don't.
I can't emphasize how important that is. I can't overemphasize how important that is. I hope people hear it, and I hope people get that test. So what is with this news item that over a 40-inch waist puts you at real risk?
Well, it's not a news item because, if you remember, I think it was our third show, we talked about metabolic syndrome. That's all this is metabolic syndrome. Metabolic syndrome is a clustering of risk factors that, if taken together, increase one's risk of having a cardiovascular event. In the criteria that, not what they have in their blood. So it's, in other words, it's a pre-diabetic condition. They're 25% of the U.S. population now has this metabolic syndrome or prediabetes, high risk. And the criteria is you need three of the five. Men who have a waist size greater than 40, women greater than 38, a fasting blood sugar greater than 100, triglycerides greater than 150, a blood pressure off medicine greater than or equal to 130 over 85, and finally, women who have an HDL less than 50 and men who have one less than 40. If you have three of the five, you have metabolic syndrome, you automatically become a moderate risk patient, even if you're a low-risk patient, you know, in terms of traditional risk factor scoring. So abdominal obesity, so in other words, we've talked about apple-shaped people are at higher risk. Not pear-shaped people, but apple-shaped people.
The pear-shaped is the hips.
The big tush.
Big tush. Well, let me be personal for a moment on this 40-inch thing. So I have between 41 and 42-inch waist. And I'm 6'4". Now, if a guy is 5'4" and has a 41 to 42-inch waist, he's not more at risk than I? It's so a matter of inches, not proportion to the body?
You're absolutely correct, actually, though, and that's what the issue is. The BMI, okay,
body which we mass measure, index,
right,
yeah,
is actually more representative because you can't take all comers, and that's why, although we measure waist size, you're a big guy. Okay, yes, you know, maybe you could be a 39, okay? You know, maybe it would suit you better. But certainly you couldn't be a 36 just based on your body frame being big bone. So you need to take that. So
if I were at a 36-inch waist, I could not do this show. Hello, Dennis Prager here. That would be my energy level.
So you need to look at the BMI. And, you know, it's the troubling thing about this whole cholesterol thing is if you have diabetes, okay, nobody has a problem taking insulin, right? It's if people have high blood pressure, they'll take their blood pressure medicines. But people do not want to take cholesterol medicines, even when you show it to them in their face. And right now I'm also doing gene testing.
Is it because of the bad press?
Yes. And I'm doing gene testing, okay? Because remember, 80% of this is a genetic component. 20% is your diet. And now it's part of my services. I have the most amazing dietitian. She's very well known, who sees all my patients for free. They adore her. And we have a complimentary approach. And she said to me today before I leave, she goes, please say on the air that, hello, people, it's not about diet. You need medicines, too. I'm going to teach you the other component of it, but this is not something you can take care of by diet. And this is a nutritionist and dietitian.
Well, Joe, she's honest. Because that drives me nuts when people think, oh, I'll stop eating all fatty foods and that'll lower my cholesterol. Your cholesterol is pretty much dealt to you, isn't it?
Correct. And we've talked about, you know, in L.A., which is huge, I'm going to do it the organic way. I'm going to take red yeast rice. Remember we've talked about that?
Yes, yeah.
And what is in red yeast rice? Lovastatin. A statin, but it's made in China and marketed under a different name.
Well, that answers John in Chardon, Ohio. Dr. Michael Richmond, thoracic surgeon, is my guest. Figured our first hour away from Osama bin Laden should be affirming life. So that's it's a credit to you, sir.
Thank you.
That we're having you on. By the way, folks, we're just a couple of $1,000s away with Feed the Children from their $200,000 goal. We're talking about our fellow Americans in the tornado-stricken states. Go to DennisPrager.com and see their banner. Dennis Prager here, my guest. A couple of times a year, the unofficial physician of the Dennis Prager Show, Dr. Michael Richmond. Not Richmond. The lab is in Richmond, but you're Richmond. R-I-C-H-M-A-N, thoracic surgeon in practice in Los Angeles, founder of the Center for Cholesterol Management. And he's particularly, aside from competent, I find him very honest and no agenda other than preventing what might be preventable, and that is some cardiovascular event. By the way, I asked you this last time, and it's always worth asking you, why should somebody 30 years old, 35 years old be listening?
Because the main reason is cardiovascular disease, in other words, atherosclerosis, clogging of the arteries, starts as a baby. Autopsy studies on babies show they already have fatty streaks in their aorta. Hmm. So if you can prevent it from an early age, isn't that the key? Is prevention? I now take care of an 8-year-old who's on cholesterol medicine. His father passed away at 31. He has something called familial hypercholesterolemia, which is underappreciated in our population. 1 in 500 people have familial hypercholesterolemia. Now, not all of them die in their 20s and 30s, but I can tell you that if you've had a first-degree family member or a mother die in their 30s or 40s of cardiovascular disease, you better be scared. And we don't. We don't appreciate that.
Okay, what I'm going to do here is take some calls and summarize some calls so that I can get to as many as possible. And let's see here. We'll begin. Susan in Pennsylvania wants to know, is there any value to taking fish oils and eliminating trans fats?
Well, fish oils definitely are absolutely important. Omega-3 fatty acids, the benefits every day there's something new. But there is no doubt. I do something called the Omega-3 Index. And I send blood. Dr. Bill Harris, who's an MD, the world's authority on fish oil, has a way to measure the amount of fish oil inside a red blood cell. The Japanese have an index over 8%. Typically in the United States, we have an index of 3 to 5%. They have a markedly reduced risk of sudden death compared to us. Fish oil, from a cardiac standpoint, is indisputed. From the mental side, there's some conflicting data. You know,
from the what side?
Well, from the brain standpoint, there's claims, you know, that it slows the onset of Alzheimer's. And there's
cigarettes do that. They do. I'm sorry. I'm not saying people should smoke, but if you really want to know, anyway, go on.
So from a cardiac standpoint, fish oils definitely lower your risk of death. But more importantly, I use fish oil, high dose fish oils, 4,000 milligrams. It's a triglyceride medicine and it lowers your triglycerides. And hypertriglyceridemia is a problem. In fact, 2 weeks ago, there's a brand new American Heart Association consensus paper, 48 pages on the role of triglycerides in heart disease that was just put out.
Well, and what about the other part of the woman's question about, what is it, trans fats? Was that it?
Well, trans fats and saturated fats just wind up ultimately becoming cholesterol and, you know, clogging your arteries. So, yes, they're horrible for you. You know, and saturated fats are dairy, meats and dairy.
So, are you an anti-meat and dairy man?
I mean, I had a filet mignon the other night. I'm not going to say that I'm not, but, you know, calling a spade is people will say to me, well, hey, I want to do the diet, you know, where I eat high fat and
no
I still
carb,
lose
right.
weight. And that's great. You may lose weight. Any diet works if you eat less than you burn off. That doesn't mean that your blood is going to be yellow. I mean, I'm exaggerating, but loaded full of cholesterol and you still die. So, you know, but that's the bottom line.
But you did say earlier that most of our cholesterol measurement is genetic.
Correct.
Not what we eat.
Correct. And I have numerous vegans who are in the 100th percentile in the United States in regard to particles. In other words, they are worse than 100% of the population, and they're vegans, not even vegetarians. And yet I have people that are meat eaters, meat dairy, and they're in the bottom 2% in the United States. By and large, obesity and all this stuff with high cholesterol, it's an epidemic in the United States. It's getting worse. It's not getting better. And the reason why it's going on in my book is not treatment per se, but lack of identification.
Okay, back in a moment. And I'll ask you when we come back, if everybody listening could do one or two things, what would you want those two things to be, talking about their physical health? Talking to Dr. Michael Richman, and again, a reminder that we'd love to pass this great milestone for Feed the Children. It's up at DennisPrager.com. Prager University does not yet have a biology or medicine department, nor a medical school. However, with the appropriate contribution, we will name the medical school after you. Hey, what do you think of the McConnell The McConnell Medical School, Sean. You can't afford it. All right, all right. Welcome back, everybody. The first hour this week that we're not talking about Osama bin Laden and all the related issues there. And I figured, what could be nicer than affirming life? And so we have Dr. Michael Richmond, whom I have tremendous confidence in, obviously, since he is my doctor. I can't get more confidence than that. And knows how to present things very clearly. So, Dr. Richmond, I asked you earlier, people listening, and if you had a magic wand, and I mean it very sincerely, and everybody could do two things to prevent cardiovascular events, using your terminology, what would you have them do?
The first thing I personally would do is, when you're younger, and, you know, I would say by 20, have advanced lipoprotein testing. Now, I will get ripped by probably plenty in the academic world that it's unnecessary, but it's a blood test. And as we said before, if you were going to pay cash for it, it's $99. And I always tell people, I go, that's a manicure, pedicure, and a tip on the west side. Okay, so $99. This isn't radiation. Will tell you what's going on in your blood. You do that, that could be life-saving, okay? And I don't benefit from it. I have no benefit in it,
right,
other than
right.
My role is to educate people. And I think why people come to me, and I've gotten so many patients from you, and you know how I feel about you and so appreciative, and they keep driving or they fly in from Florida four times a year, is because I will call it like it is. And my primary goal is not to make money. My primary goal is to teach the facts, not the facts according to Michael Richmond, but what their facts are as we know them. And I also think eat a balanced diet. I mean, listen, I'm not going to lie. There's a day that I walk in my office every once in a while carrying a McDonald's bag and a Coke, and there's patients, and they're usually your patients, are sitting there, or your listeners, and they start laughing. And I'm like, do as I say, not as I do. I'm in better shape than you. But the truth is that, you know, you can't say to somebody, listen, don't eat meat ever. But really, you should avoid dairy. You should avoid animal products. You should eat a lot of fish and chicken. The best thing to do is the Mediterranean lifestyle, of the Mediterranean diet. And, you know, that consists of chicken or fish, lots of olive oil, nuts, you know, especially almonds. But you got to watch your consumption on that, because that's calories. Because people in the Mediterranean areas live longer. They have less heart disease. And they eat differently than we do in the United States.
So a giant portion of fish is better than a small portion of meat?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, I mean, it also depends how you're eating your fish. If you're eating Long John Silver, you know, fried fish.
Right. I understand, of course. I just, though, have to go back to the earlier statement, though, that most cholesterol measurement is genetic and not what you eat. So why are you placing so much emphasis on the meat-dairy issue?
Because triglycerides, okay, there's cholesterol in there, triglycerides.
Oh, because of cholesterol.
There is because of cholesterol, but triglyceride,
which is fatty stuff.
Right, and people who have high triglycerides have high particles, but a different type of particle, which ultimately become what we're talking about. The primary treatment of that is therapeutic lifestyle changes, smoking cessation, exercise, diet, and losing weight. So when you want to affect your triglycerides and your sugars and diabetes and the development of metabolic syndrome, the first and foremost thing is changing how you eat and exercising.
By the way, I'm going to throw a question at you from left field, really. And I don't even, if you say you have no answer, I totally respect that. But do you have a theory at all on how ubiquitous, how common cancer has become? Do you have any thoughts? Because we've never talked about cancer. We've always talked about cardiovascular issues, which is your field, obviously. So I'm asking you something from another world. Do you have any thoughts on it?
Well, but it's not, because you got to remember, I'm still a board-certified general surgeon.
Right, okay.
And I trained at USC, which is at least the foremost esophageal center, and I've done tons of breast cancer surgery, pancreatic, colon. So cancer is not anything new, okay? And most experts will tell you.
And you don't think there's more today. It's just we diagnose it better.
We're diagnosing better. People are living longer.
All right, fine. That's,
cancer is a disease of older people, okay? It really is.
So when we hear all this anecdotal stuff, I mean in our own lives, I don't mean from newspapers, of all these young women with breast cancer, that's not an increase.
We have no
evidence of an increase in young women having breast cancer.
No. Lung cancer has surpassed breast cancer in women as the number one cause of death.
Wow.
Now, here's the argument. At least we could go to the breast cancer if you want quickly, and this is it relates to cholesterol. Remember, the United States Preventative Task Force came and said that we should raise the age of mammograms, that we're doing them too young.
Right. Yes.
Okay, and the radiologists went crazy, as I did. Well, because is a population, their argument was we're just identifying them earlier, but they appear to be living longer because we're identifying them earlier. So if we identify them a little bit later, what the heck's the difference? Because really, in reality, they're not living any longer, okay, statistically. Well, that's a stupid argument. So really, we're picking up cancer earlier. People are living longer, but cancer predominantly is a disease of older people. You don't, you know, everybody knows somebody now that has a brain tumor is dying, but it's not every day that you hear somebody dying of a brain tumor, you know. So we think it's cell phone, but it's a rare case when you hear somebody.
Give a yes or a no to Melly. Should she worry even if her total cholesterol is low and HDL is high?
I'm not going to say she should or shouldn't, but just know that a high HDL cholesterol is not protective. A low HDL cholesterol is a major risk factor.
Back in a moment with Dr. Michael Richman, the post-Osama show. All righty, everybody. Dennis Prager here and with Dr. Michael Richman. All of our previous conversations, by the way, are available at the store. 800-225-8584 could save your life. That's why I have them on. 800-225-8584. Give you an idea of many other things as well that you might value from this program. Sugarland, Texas, and Mike. Hello, Mike. Dennis Prager and Dr. Michael Richman.
Hi, Dennis. Real quickly, Dr. Richman, is there any fundamental difference between the saturated fat from, say, a red meat as opposed to the saturated fat coming out of, say, a coconut oil?
In a nutshell, saturated fats are saturated fats. Yeah, you should stay away from tropical oils, coconut oil, palm oil. That's different than coconut water. Coconut water is not a saturated fat, you know, but the coconut milk is. So, yes, saturated fats are saturated fats.
Okay, thank you, Anchorage, Alaska. Felicia, hi.
Hi. Yes, my question for Dr. Richman would be wild game, like moose and deer.
Hey, that's an Alaska question.
I eat venison every once in a while, but never had moose. It's still meat, you know. It's still saturated fat. You know, obviously, if you're gonna eat meat, you want to eat something leaner, but meat is meat.
Aren't they saying, what is it, ostrich? They're saying one is particularly healthy, though.
Well, ostrich is great, but ostrich is not a saturated fat. You know, ostrich is in the chicken family.
Oh, I see. That's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah, right.
Didn't think of that.
I mean, ostrich burgers are great.
All righty. Let's go to Brendan in Long Beach, California. Brendan, Dr. Richman, and Dennis Prager. Hi.
Hi. Good morning, gentlemen. My question is this: why has there been no overwhelming decrease in heart disease since the use of statins began largely, you know, 15 or 20 years ago or so?
That's a good question.
I would have to tell you, in my personal opinion, is because number one, not enough people are being identified, and if you do advanced lipoprotein testing, every single person at risk is identified. If you do regular testing, 50% of the population is missed. So we're not identifying. Then the second reason is we're not treating properly. So many patients are undertreated. Very few are overtreated. And the third reason is because doctors have these myths and they believe this stuff, for example, that statins destroy your liver. However, the world's authority, the world's biggest hepatologist, just wrote an editorial based on a big study, which we've known for a long time, that statins don't harm the liver.
Okay, that's good news, actually. That's very good news, because I'm on them. Dr. Michael Richmond, God bless you, and I mean it. Folks, pleasure to have an hour on health and not death.